Welcome everybody back to Friar Talk. Today we got some news, even though it's early on in the offseason. There's probably not going to be much coming out about the Padres. We got playoff baseball, we got college football, NFL football. We got a lot of sports, but we don't really have much Padres related news. Now, in about a month, when you get winter meetings, stuff like that starts heating up, there'll be so much Padres stuff. But right now, there's not too much. However, we did get it announced that both Bob Melvin and AJ Preller are going to be back. And you know, I think I'm kind of torn on how I feel about this. We both talked about it. We thought this was the second best outcome. The first best outcome was to just blow it up. But I'm really surprised that this is what they ended up doing. They're running it back. And it seemed like, based on Bob Melvin's comments, based on all of the articles about the culture in San Diego, that Bob Melvin was just like a dead man walking. That's what it felt like. So I was really surprised, because it kind of became clear as time went on that, okay, AJ Preller's going to be back. And that made it seem like, okay, so Bob Melvin, they're going to fire Bob Melvin and make him the scapegoat. They didn't do that. And they decided, hey, we're going to keep Bob Melvin. He's coming back. He's going to stay in San Diego. There was even rumors that Bob Melvin might resign. And it was kind of getting ugly towards the end there. So turns out he's back. AJ Preller's back. Now, the big question with all this, and this is what was just discussed, apparently the Padres are open to moving Preller, probably to the president of baseball operations, and bringing in a new GM. Now, this isn't necessarily like 100% going to happen, but AJ Preller said that he like would be open to that idea. And I don't know if we truthfully believe that that's going to be the case, but we're going to get into that a little bit on what we think that would look like, how we would know if AJ Preller would still have control over this roster, what kind of power dynamic would be in place there. But overall, Isaac, you can start it off. What do you think about just all of the news that's came out, both of them coming back, and now potentially a new GM being in San Diego?
I think it was second best case scenario. I mean, you look at the scenarios, it was AJ Preller stays, Bob Melvin goes. That was worst case scenario. The other scenario was Bob Melvin stays, AJ Preller goes. I thought that was best case scenario. Another scenario would be both of them leaving. We got the opposite. We got both of them staying. Now, Bob Melvin deserves to stay. I think, you know, with his track record, he deserved another chance. But AJ Preller doesn't have a track record. I'm surprised he got another chance, but is what it is. The reports are that, and this came from AJ Preller via his press conference, the reports are that he might be willing to just be president of baseball operations rather than both the president and the general manager. There's rumors, and even he said that they might be willing to hire a general manager, so that way AJ Preller can focus on one role. Whether that's a good thing or not, I think we all would be in favor of it, because we're tired of seeing big contracts. We're tired of seeing trades not going our way. And I think, you know, we're kind of thinking we're in favor of seeing if somebody else could do more with less. And I say more with less because I don't think even if we get a new general manager, I don't think they're going to have as much money to spend as Peter Seiler has given AJ Preller in the past. Rumors are the Padres want to be at around $200 million. Is a general manager going to want to come here and say, well, shoot, I need to fill out a starting rotation because Blake Snell's going to leave. Joe Musgrove, he'll probably be healthy. Yu Darvish might not be healthy. Dick Martinez, he's more like a back-end starter. Seth Lugo might opt out. We don't know what's going to happen with Waka. How am I going to make a rotation out of the money that I'm given, which is not much? But on the other side of it, a general manager is probably going to, you know, so a candidate would dream of having Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, Manny Machado, and Xander Bogaerts on the roster for even 1 year together. And I say 1 year because we don't know what's going to happen with Juan Soto. Hopefully those negotiations, whether, you know, you're on the side of him being extended or not, hopefully those negotiations are in progress, because I want Juan Soto in a Padres uniform. I know it's a lot of money to fork up, and I know that the money might not be there because of really bad signings of Xander Bogaerts. And I don't want to say this, and I hope this isn't the case in the future, but Manny Machado as well. Because realistically, you should have kept just Fernando, Juan Soto. That's all you really need, and then you could just build around them. But this is a manager's dream, right? Ha-Seong Kim just also put up a 4-5 WAR season. So the dream here would be you get a general manager, preferably from the Braves or the Orioles organizations, and Chase would probably be in favor of that. He could talk about that as well. preferably from one of those organizations, and they're able to give us a starting rotation. Not as good as last year. I think that's going to be impossible, but where you lack in terms of rotation, the offense has to pick it up. The lineup has to pick it up. So super happy Bob Melvin's back. I think he definitely deserves it. I think he's the right man for this job. And even if we did fire him, who the hell would we get? Is there anyone better? You guys want Gabe Kapler? I'm sorry. He had one Cinderella season. Mid other than that. And he hasn't been given much to work with either. But if you look at the past, Bob Melvin wasn't given much to work with. Looked really damn good doing it. Won 3 Manager of the Year awards. Gabe Kapler, not the same thing. So really happy Bob Melvin's back. Can't necessarily say the same for AJ Preller. It's going to be money to dump. They're going to have to offload some money because they need guys in the rotation and they need better depth pieces as well. So we'll see how this all goes. But overall, you know, the main piece here is that they're going to run it back in terms of the front office and the dugout presence. So hopefully it all works out in 2024.
I think the one fear that I think we share with AJ Preller possibly just moving to the role of president of baseball operations and forfeiting his GM title with a new one is if it is somewhat of a buddy hire like AJ Preller has done in the past, or kind of more of an up and coming guy from a random organization. I prefer Braves and Orioles just because they have proven to the baseball community that they did it the right way. They replenished from their farm system. Yeah, they maybe made a couple of trades here and there, but they built up the farm system. They self-grew that talent and have now pretty self-sufficient organizations where, yeah, even if a guy goes and fetches a major contract, they can replace that guy from a guy in the farm system or, you know, team-friendly contracts. You know, we're not going to sign like an Eric Hosmer for, you know, 7 years, $144 million, and him be worthless after 4 years and then continue to pay that guy for 3 years after he's out of the team because of how detriment he was to the team. You know, is he going to hire a yes man? Is he going to hire a actual capable GM? And will a capable GM want to come to the Padres with the situation that they have? It is better situation than most teams and what AJ Preller walked into when he was during his first year. The farm system's built up. Yes, this year they do not have a lot of money to spend. It's probably between $25 and $35 million, depending on how arbitration goes and who opts back in or opts out of their contracts from what we said. But like Isaac said, they're going to have to rebuild the roster. They're going to have to rebuild the starting rotation. They're probably going to have to add a couple pieces to the bullpen. You're probably going to have to get a depth outfielder, maybe a potential actual first baseman, depending on how Cronenworth does or what happens with Cronenworth. And you're going to have to revamp analytics. You have a lot to do, surprisingly, when you first come in as a new GM for the Padres. So, who is it going to be? Is Preller going to relinquish control? I guess it would be the biggest question and kind of the one that we need the answer to the most, because if he does it, it just kind of ends up him being like he's still the puppet master and the GM's under his control, then it's not really worth it.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, because it kind of just feels like you're not really making many changes. Now, I will say, first off, just with the initial moves, Bob Melvin being back, I'm very happy about that. And I know some people were like, hey, I don't think Bob Melvin's that good. That's all right. But if you would have went through the process and they would have kept AJ Preller and fired Bob Melvin, that would have just been like, what is even going on here? Now, so we have the Bob Melvin is back part. That's done. The GM part of it. If, let's say the Padres, okay, let's just say that, yes, Preller's done being GM and he is the president of baseball operations. Let's just make that assumption. And I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case, but let's just say that's what's going down. If he's doing that, we're going to find out a lot just based on his hire. Because they might not say, okay, who has final say on the roster? Who has final say on this? Who's running what? Now, they might say that. They might disclose that information to the media, to the public, right? They might not. But if they don't, we're going to know based on the move what that is. Because if there's a guy that's coming from, and we don't have like candidate names yet, like we'll eventually get to that if that becomes a thing where it's like, hey, this is what's going on. We'll definitely discuss that because I think that's super important. I think that's super interesting. But let's just go on, say that they hire a guy from the Orioles and he's an up-and-coming guy. That guy's not going to take the job to be in this Padres organization that just had all these problems this year if he does not have final say on a lot of things. He's not going to do that if he's AJ Preller's puppet. Now, if AJ Preller goes back and we say, oh, he hired some dude that he used to work with on the Rangers. Well, then guess what, guys? It's not a new GM. It's the same situation. So you're going to be able to determine that right off the bat. We'll definitely talk about that too when it happens, but that's going to be the biggest question mark with the front office like changes. That's going to be what we find out. And I know some people are like, hey, like AJ Preller did a lot of good things for this organization. You know, they brought in a lot of stuff. Yes and no. I mean, a lot of it is just comes from Peter Seidler and signing massive contracts and trading for a guy like Darvish, who was a salary dump. Like there's a lot of that aspect to it, but you look at where the Padres are at this year, and Chase, you talked about how tough of a job it is for the GM. Well, let's look at this. Between Eric Hosmer, who does not play on the San Diego Padres anymore, he didn't play on them at all last year, and Matt Carpenter, who should not be playing on the Padres and barely played to close out the season, they are paying those guys in 2024 just a shade under $18 million. Blake Snell's estimated value next year is $23 million. That is an ace caliber pitcher almost, like almost washing that, you know, $5 million in difference of off two guys that are not playing for you. So I think that getting a new GM, changing up the front office, doing that aspect of it is imperative for the Padres to have success moving forward. Like if they don't do that, like, yeah, like we can look at the roster and we can analyze, okay, these are good moves and stuff like that, because that did happen in 2022. It did happen. It was like, hey, you know, they made some good moves. They have a lot of depth. They did this and it was exciting. However, we can't really bank on them just consistently doing that year in and year out where you Chase, you brought up the Braves. I mean, the Braves are a great example of that. What guy that we really wanted the Padres to trade for this last offseason, and they ended up signing Xander Bogaerts and stuff. We wanted Sean Murphy. That was huge for the Braves. Look what they did. They lost Freddie Freeman. What do? They get Matt Olson. He had what, like 50 something home runs this year. He was insane. Like, so that's the thing. Like you lost one of the best players in baseball in Freddie Freeman, and you replaced him with the guy that hit 50 bombs, and now you're like the heavy favorite in the playoffs. So I think a lot of that's going to really determine just how I feel about the future of this team. There's a lot of major question marks with what's going to happen in San Diego. And this offseason, the biggest thing is going to be how do you have a competent starting rotation? How do you fill in these holes? What do you do with Trent Grisham? What do you do at first base? What do you do at DH? The other spots are kind of figured out. So there's not a ton in terms of the lineup, even though it's kind of weird to say that because like that was such an issue last year. And like there are just like guys you're like, dude, like I don't want to see Trent Grisham in the lineup again. How can this team have the worst production at first base and DH in the league? Like, can you improve from that? And that could be a thing that's not that hard, but then you look at it and you go, well, the rotation was so good last year. What if that falls off? So there's a lot of question marks going into just like the player aspect of it. But the first thing that needs to get figured out is what does this front office look like? Because we're going to know so much more about the future of this team if they check those boxes correctly. And I think it might be a little difficult to figure out if they do that, but if you can kind of read between the lines and look at who the potential hire is, or if AJ Preller is just back, it's going to be hard. We're going to learn a little bit, but it's still going to be hard to tell. So I'm excited for that part of this. And I hope that we know that within, you know, by November, what that looks like. And I think that we should know that. So a lot to unpack, a lot to figure out, but this is kind of the first step of the Padres offseason, I think.
So I just wanted to bring up kind of Sean Murphy's numbers. He hit 21 home runs and he had an 843 OPS. We needed that out of our catching position. He also handled the pitching staff wonderfully. Going back to the Braves, you also said they replaced Freddie Freeman, one of the best hitters, with Matt Olson. Between Matt Olson and Sean Murphy, they combined for 75 home runs and an average of a 918 OPS. And what did our Padres acquisitions do? Nothing close to that.
Yeah, I remember, shit, we were even big advocates for getting Matt Olson, too. I forgot. No, our first baseman was still Eric Hosmer. Yeah, we were big advocates for Matt Olson. And I know there's going to be someone in the comments who brings up Sean Murphy's second half numbers or after the All-Star break. I get it. It wasn't that good. You know who it's a hell of a lot better than? Austin Nola. It's a hell of a lot better than, shit, Jorge Alfaro last year. It's a lot better than Gary. I mean, it's just, it's a better, it's one of the best catchers in baseball. It's not some guy that you picked up because nobody else wanted him and he suddenly became good. Are you going to rely on that again? You didn't have to rely on that again, but you're going to rely on that again, apparently. No, man, I mean, Matt, you know, you said one of the things that that you said was, what if the rotation's not as good as it was this year? And in my opinion, it's not what if. It's a matter of, it's a given. I hate to say that. I hate to say that. But this was, by ERA, one of, if not the best rotation in baseball. The Padres blew it. Of course they did. But they blew the best rotation in baseball, one of the top five rotations in baseball. And you look at the names next year and you really think, like, I don't think they can do it again. Top 10 would be fucking phenomenal. Top 10. That's all I'm hoping for. And I think they can realistically be a top 10 rotation no matter what. You know, when we hired Ruben Niebla, we expected them to, you know, kind of get a jolt out of the pitching rotation. I think we've gotten more than that, man. I think he's been a great pitching coach. And I really like Niebla. I think he's done some really good things with this rotation and this pitching staff in general. Bullpen cost us some games, but I think we can expect some good things out of the rotation next year, even if it's not the best or top five. If it can be a top 10 and the lineup can do what we expected the lineup to do, man, this could be a really good team. But the dumbest thing the Padres could do this year is rely on bounce backs. Isn't that what they did with, like, oh, Matt Carpenter, he had a good month. Let's hope he can do that over a prolonged period of time. Nelson Cruz, well, shit, let's just hope he bounces back. Trent Grisham, let's keep him out in center field and hope he bounces back. Relying on bounce backs is one of the dumbest things you could do. In this case, you would be relying on that from Jake Cronenworth. He's still on the roster, so Matt Carpenter. Trent Grisham. And maybe not so much a bounce back, but there's an argument you could say Gary Sanchez, not in a bounce back, but you're expecting him to keep that sustained production. I'm thinking they re-sign him. So you're expecting him to keep that sustained production. Don't do that. I think that is the dumbest thing you could do. Unless you're getting them to driveline and heavily helping them over the offseason to help their swings and, you know, get them right. This is the dumbest thing you could possibly do. And Jake Cronenworth, he's max a 750 OPS guy. You can't have that at first base. Why are you going to have that at first base? There's guys that can easily hit 750 plus OPS that can play first base. You can't do that. What was that, man?
You can have Garrett Cooper for...
You can have Garrett Cooper. Yeah, you can have Garrett Cooper. You can go get a different... You can go get a platoon to go with Garrett Cooper. As long as it's not G-Man Choi, you can go get a platoon to go help Garrett Cooper. You know, it's things that like that that you can make this roster so much better. You don't need superstars. You don't need to go get Shohei Ohtani. You don't need to, I mean, I'd love if they re-signed Blake Snell, but you don't need to go get Shohei. You don't need to go get superstars, man. You don't need to do another Xander Bogaerts move. We didn't even fucking need Xander Bogaerts. We didn't need him last year. So it's moves like that that are the difference between a heavily underperforming 82-win team that missed the playoffs by two games because they're one of the worst teams with runners in scoring position. Sure, it's a wacky stat. Sure, they'll bounce back. That's not going to happen again, we hope. But that's the difference between teams like us and teams like the ones that are in the playoffs right now, man. It's those depth pieces that are able to come through when runners are on, that are able to give you clutch starts when needed, that, you know, give you sustained production over a long period of time, rather than Matt Carpenter, Nelson Cruz, G-Man Choi, Rich Hill, you know, guys that you're expecting bounce backs from. It's not the way to go, man. Especially not with a team that's shown that they haven't been able to get guys from teams. From a team that historically has guys that go from good to bad and great to good, not the other way around, relying on bounce backs isn't the way to go.
No, I agree with that. Chase, you have anything else you wanted to add, or?
I think basically covered that last part pretty well. I mean, you can't just keep relying on bounce backs and hoping a guy comes back to his 2020 season for 162 games. I mean, it would be great if that happened, but we can't rely on it. We need more consistent players. We need analytics. You know, like, we shouldn't have our manager coming out of the first half of the season going, yeah, you know, I'm still trying to make adjustments because I don't have analytics I did in Oakland. And Oakland, you know, doesn't have the salary that you guys do, or isn't spending the money on the team that you guys do. And somehow they have a better analytics team and prepared for matchups than your organization. You can't be having that, especially if you want to be serious about winning a World Series.
Yeah, 100%. That was something I was going to bring up, Isaac, too. Like, you're talking a lot about the roster construction, but I think even the more important aspect of all of that is that, do you guys watch the Brewers in the playoffs? And I know they never win any playoff games, and it's like, oh, whatever. Like, they're kind of like, they're like perpetually mediocre, even though they make the playoffs every year. They just get bounced in the first round. Like, they're not like what you're striving to be. But if you would go and look at their lineup, they had Josh Donaldson playing, and who was their first base? Was it Carlos Santana? No, not Carlos Santana. What's his name? The dude that's like 40. I forget. But they had like two guys where it's like, these guys should not be on a playoff team. Like, Josh Donaldson is blatantly terrible, and their lineup is atrocious. But somehow they always make the playoffs, dude. Like, it's so weird. So I think a lot of it comes back to, like, you need to fix the organization. And Chase, you just brought that up with the analytics and stuff. That's where this all is going to start. And if you go and you actually bring a GM and you make fundamental organizational changes this year, that's going to be the most important part. That is going to be the biggest thing. And we did see that a little bit from 2021 to 2022. You remember with Larry Rothschild that as a pitching coach, you brought in Ruben Niebla. That was massive. That was so huge for 2022. You need to do more stuff like that. There needs to be changes where, you know, we don't have all of Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, and Tatis under an 800 OPS. That's rough. That is rough. Juan Soto was fantastic, but it was just him. And I know Kim fell off, but Kim's had a great year too. It's going to be hard to keep the, you know, have as good of a pitching staff as you had this year. So you're going to have to make little changes that help this team win games. You're going to have to, you know, understand when to utilize your bullpen arms, even because your bullpen's going to be worse than it was this year. I know people don't want to say that. I mean, I guess bullpens are so random that I guess we can't really make that assumption, but like you're losing Josh Hader. So good luck with that one. But that's where I think we're going to see. Anyone listening, if you guys have, you know, if you guys have opinions on what you think about just the Padres front office mix up, you know, having Bob Melvin back, maybe there are potential names that you guys want to see and have us talk about for GM. If they really start talking like it is the serious thing that we're out there looking for a new GM, then let us know who those are. Cause I like this part about kind of the discussions and the discussion points right now. We have the next 2-3 months to talk about different free agents, different guys to bring back, and we'll definitely get into that. But I think this is definitely the biggest conversation that needs to be talked about right now, because we had all those culture issues with the San Diego Padres, and we didn't really get into them too much. But running it back isn't necessarily solving that. It's probably not solving that. So I still hope that there's some changes on the horizon. And even if Preller's back, even if they do make massive changes to just the staff, to where the money is allocated within the organization, that could play big next year too. So I think we're going to find out a lot in this next month before free agency really opens up and gets going, but I'm excited to see what they end up doing. Hopefully it is a positive they actually make big changes, because them running it back makes it seem like that's what they're banking on doing and that they are going to have some legit changes. So we'll see, but you know, lots can be said with all that. So that's going to do it for us today, but we'll talk to y'all next time. Sunday morning, we'll be going live. We'll be talking about football, talking a little bit about any questions you guys have then, so make sure to tune in. I'm assuming 9:15 in the morning. That's when we've been going lately. So we'll see y'all on Sunday morning, but have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend. Got a lot of good sports on. Got a lot of good baseball, a lot of good football this weekend. So everyone, have a great rest of your time, and we'll talk to y'all soon.